How are you?
You know, just sitting here thinking, watching, and looking at the preparation for this makes me smile.
Is that right?
Yeah, because it's not overly complicated. It's not super produced.
Yeah, man.
You know, does that make sense?
It's podcasting.
Yeah, it's not a thing that you're doing where it's like, all right, let's... I mean, obviously, there are podcasts that do a ton of homework and...
Really, and some of them are good.
Yeah. But I think the stress of overproducing and overdoing these things sometimes puts a kerfuffle.
Well, if you take like...
on the industry.
Just comedians.
Yeah.
On one end of the spectrum, we have like the Dana Gould Hour, which comes out once a month, maybe. It's 3 hours long. It has multiple segments. It has an oral history part. It has two or three different fucking interviews edited, intertwined with each other. And then the other end of the spectrum is like Bill Burr, who like has no intro, no music, no co-host. It's literally just him talking to himself. And both are very popular. And that's the beauty of podcasting.
But see, the Dana Gould one just seems overly complicated to me.
Well, it's not... I was going to say it's not what I do, but it's not what I do. But, you know, I like a little production here and there. But I feel like, as Marshall McLuhan said, medium is the message. And the point of this weird medium is, you know, we're just normal people talking to each other.
That's what I think it is. And I feel that sometimes it's forgotten that it's just a conversation more than getting on a soapbox and trying to sell the soap.
This feels like a Dick Cavett interview. Thanks a lot, Emilio. We'll be right back with Norman Mailer. Emilio Sparks, how are you?
I'm good, man. How are you?
You look good. I like your flannel.
Thank you. I like comfy, cozy flannels. This is Ralph Lauren, too. It's very nice.
Good. It looks like you're a real mountain man. Did you spend a lot of money for a shirt that looks like it's distressed? Did you buy it that distressed?
You know what? I think it was a Christmas gift about 2 years ago that I finally popped the tag on.
Well, it's cold today. It's quite cold in Staten Island where yes. we're recording.
Yes, and that's why I brought out these cool socks, too.
Ooh, you got them all the way up.
Yeah.
Look at you.
Yeah.
You're a real man of leisure.
Yeah, I try to be. And I have UGG boots.
I love it. I wasn't going to say it, but I love a good boot.
Yeah.
I'm not dressed proper today at all. I've got on like a little hoodie, and I should really be wearing a genuine coat.
It's freezing outside.
It is.
Why are you not wearing the proper outdoor?
Because it was like 70 last
fabric.
Week. Who knows these days?
It's gonna be cold all weekend. Don't you watch the news?
I do.
Don't you listen to 1010 Winds?
No, I
or
look
NPR.
No, I tell you, I look at the weather app on my iPhone. It was supposed to snow today. That didn't happen.
That's it was flurrying where I was at for a little while.
That's a win for where. Where were you?
I was up in Connecticut.
Christmas in Connecticut.
Yeah.
This is Pop Culture Man Children, PCMC.
Hi-o.
Mr. Miller Sparks is with me.
It feels good to be back.
It feels good to have you back.
Thank you. I've missed you.
The last episode you were on was the 100th episode.
How many are we up to now?
Oh, gosh.
Because you pump out the content here.
Maybe 106?
Wow, six.
Right? Yeah, it would be because... there were 5 Wednesdays in October. We did the 100th and then 4 Halloween specials.
Very good Halloween specials, by the way.
Thank you very much. Was it hard to do 4 Halloween specials? You bet it was. Am I going to do it next year? Maybe. I'll think about it. Maybe just we do one next year. I don't know.
Aren't we going to do an entire, just me and you, just an entire month of just Christmas together?
Well, I tell you what I do want to do.
What do you want to do? Do we want to give it away now?
I want to do a Christmas special. Well, do you want to give away what we're going to do in it or one of the segments of it?
I think one of the segments of it. I know you want to do a Christmas special because those are our thing.
We always do a Christmas special.
Yeah.
And I like to do a New Year special too.
Yes.
And of course, there's a new Star Wars movie coming out and that's a special. Well, fans of the show really love last year on Halloween. We went to Spirit Halloween.
Yes,
and
we did.
Asked... we were summarily asked to leave.
Yeah.
Please leave the premises.
And we did.
And we did. And then we went more covertly and we snuck into a party city.
But they didn't care.
They didn't. The vibes could not have been more different.
Yeah, they didn't care.
Like, first of all, his eyes were so bloodshot. I've never seen a more high on drugs
security guard.
Security guard, yeah, in my life. He didn't care. So I think for Christmas, we're going to do that at the Christmas tree shop or some such.
I've never been there, actually.
What? It's one of my favorite places.
Yeah.
You've never been to a Christmas tree shop?
No.
Are you a Christmas guy? You like Christmas, don't you?
I'm not one of those Christmas people.
Your brother is, right? Your brother's a big Christmas person.
He already started setting up the house.
See,
there's lights outside that you haven't seen yet.
Yeah.
So yeah, he's gonna start his own version. Of Rockefeller Center soon.
I've got some friends that are pressuring me to get in the spirit, but I'm still mourning Halloween. I can't switch from Halloween to Christmas as quick as other people.
Well, I will tell you this. Because I've just been going through it for the last 100 days, when I saw him testing the lights and they had that Christmas twinkle,
yeah,
I told him, you know what? Usually I break your chops about letting Thanksgiving have its own thing so it can breathe. But this year, just go. Just start. So he started putting up the lights. They're not on yet outside, but
yeah,
the lights are already strung.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Because there's still a sort of autumn
There is an autumn motif going on in front of the house.
Yeah.
But the lights are already...
I think maybe a week, 2 weeks, I'm going to put up my tree.
That's nothing wrong with that. I think that's nice.
Hey, I take down the Halloween tree, I put up the Christmas tree. That's how things work.
Maybe you could keep up the Halloween tree all year round, maybe. Maybe you could do a Halloween Christmas tree.
I've known people who do that. I think you...
I've never merged the two worlds.
Yeah.
But there's a movie called The Nightmare Before Christmas that does.
A man tried to do it, and that man was Jack Skellington. Did he succeed?
No.
I don't know. Not really. No. You learned, really, you just got to be yourself, yeah. I think. I don't really remember what that movie's about.
I've watched a piece of it.
Well, I guess that will lead us into the first news story. I should say, I'm Mike Buongiorno.
You said that already.
Did I?
Yeah.
I said the name of the show.
Pop Culture Man Children. I'm Mike Buongiorno. That's Emilio Sparks. You said it.
I don't think I did.
All right. I'm sorry. Maybe I just got my producer ears on. Maybe you did. Maybe you didn't. I don't know.
Since you were talking about Nightmare Before Christmas, we're mere days away from Disney Plus's launch. $6.99 a month. Will it stay that way? Probably not. But it's a good opening price.
I can't wait to get your login so I can watch stuff.
Listen.
You or Kat, one or the other. I'll just ask for the login.
Well, one of us will give it to you. I'm supporting a lot of people. I got a lot of mouths to feed. I don't know, Amelia. I got this one over here. And I, you know.
Yeah. Now, is The Nightmare Before Christmas under the Disney umbrella?
What isn't under the Disney umbrella?
It's true.
That's a good question.
It's true.
But yeah, it is a Disney movie. So that would probably be on there, as well as many other things. Now, I know you're not a Disney fan, but really, Disney Plus isn't Disney Mickey. I mean, it is, but it's also like ESPN and Star Wars.
The mouse owns everything.
Yeah, right, exactly. So you're going to get Disney Plus? It seems like a good alternative to Netflix. I think it's really going to go after Netflix hard because it's going to have the original stuff with the backing of the biggest media company ever, plus a backlog, and that's what Netflix doesn't really have anymore.
Yeah, but what's the backlog, though?
The backlog is, 60 years of movies from 20th Century Fox and Disney.
Well, they do own Fox. It's true. I forgot about that.
Yeah.
What about Warner Brothers? They don't own Warner Brothers, right? No, Time Warner does.
Yeah.
Or AOL. I don't know. Everything's just becoming a homogenized corporation.
Yeah.
So.
AOL.
AOL.
That brings me back.
Yeah.
I still have an AOL email.
Yes, you do.
And whenever people ask me for it, my personal email, they're always shocked that I have it. And I'm like, it's vintage.
Are you ever going to use the Gmail?
I use Gmail professionally.
But isn't AOL, isn't that going away?
I think it is gone. I believe it only exists.
As an email?
As an email server.
Do you remember when you used to do chat rooms and you used to have a screen name?
Come on, that was the best. What was your first screen name?
Emilio Sparks 777.
777.
Yeah.
Wait, what was the 777 mean?
Well, my birthday is May 7th.
Okay.
But I just thought, like,
7 BC?
Yeah, it was 1-7 BC. And I just thought, well, 777, think is the calling card of Christ? I don't know. Like, the devil has 666, so Emilio Sparks wanted 777.
I don't know. I'm not a Christian, but I that doesn't sound right to
I think
ear.
Mathematically it works, right? What's bigger than 6? 7.
You know what? I can't argue with that. Now,
did you... 7, 8, 9.
Oh! This is the kind of comedy you get.
Yep.
On a free podcast.
That's it. We're not Dana Gould.
On Amelia Sparks 777.
Yeah.
Did you have capital letter, lowercase letter, capital letter?
No, I didn't write like a 14-year-old child.
Okay, well, you had 777. Yeah. So.
But I didn't do like.
No XOs?
No,
in there
I didn't
at
do
all?
XOs.
Okay.
I would go into the Staten Island chat room, though.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Who's from Staten Island? Let's hang out.
Oh, how would that go? Was that good?
You know.
Chat rooms.
Yeah, hookup culture back then when you're like 12.
Oh my god. My first email my first screen name was LT Saber cuz lightsaber had been taken.
Oh.
So it was LT Saber and some mishmash of numbers. And I was like, I'm going to be the guy on the internet who likes Star Wars.
I'm going to be that one guy.
I'm going to be that guy.
I'm going to be that guy.
Yeah.
Do you remember when the sidekicks were all the rage and everybody had one of the T-Mobile sidekicks? So you can...
The one, the chirpers? The burp, burp,
burp. No, that's a Nextel.
Oh, sorry.
The sidekick was the precursor to the iPhone.
I never had one. I remember them, but I never had one.
I never had one either, but like all my friends did. So they were like, yeah, bro, look, I'm gonna go on the sidekick and we'll hit up these people. We'll go to lunch.
Okay.
We'll cut class. This is high school.
We'll go to lunch.
We'll cut class. We'll go to Brothers Pizzeria. All right, great.
Were you friends in high school with Tony Danza?
Yes, I was.
Oh, we'll call Angela and we'll go get some pizza.
We'll go to Brothers.
Are you going to get Disney Plus? Sir, you're evading the question.
No, I'm not.
You're really not?
Probably not.
It's only $7 a month.
Yeah, but no. I mean, for no streams now.
You don't pay for any of them?
No. Everything I have is a...
Somebody else's login?
Well, no. I shouldn't say that. Me and Forte went half on New Japan World.
I didn't know. Okay.
Yeah.
But
just to watch New Japan Pro Wrestling.
You get Netflix from someone else?
Yes, I do.
Okay. All right. So you... And Hulu. So you will get it. You're not going to pay for it.
I'll get it, but I ain't going to pay for it.
Okay.
I get it. And I don't pay for Hulu.
Okay.
Amazon Prime.
I pay for it all, actually.
Yeah, you do the...
I'm the sugar daddy of a lot of people.
Now, let me ask you, is the DC...
It's done. I canceled it.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, is it because of Swamp Thing?
No, I never watched Swamp Thing. It
only lasted 2 episodes.
It was... I don't know. It wasn't giving me everything I wanted. It wasn't worth it to me.
Okay.
And I'm trying to cut back on my spending.
Very responsible of you.
Thank you, sir. And, it seems like when a show is popular, they eventually put it on Netflix anyway. So
yeah.
It's like, where's the exclusivity that I thought I was buying into?
No.
Also, they never got Adam West's Batman, which to me, it was a sticking point. Because if they had the whole run of that, I'd be happy. And it was glaringly absent from their programming.
Now, do you think the Disney Plus will have the wonderful world of Disney where Walt would be behind the desk at first and then you'd see him, he'd walk behind the desk, he would sit on the desk and prop his little leg up and put his hand on his thigh and be like, I'm just a regular guy like you.
Right. As the camera cuts in, you just for a split second see him putting out a cigarette.
Yeah.
Hi, everybody. This is Walt Disney.
And then you knew, like, oh, wow, something cool was about to happen.
Yeah.
The president and creator and owner of Disney is going to talk to us.
Yeah.
And they used to air this on Channel 7.
Yeah.
And it was like that weird sepia tone.
Yeah.
It looked like it was
still air. I mean, technically, that show still exists. Just this week, they did The Wonderful World of Disney Presents Little Mermaid Live. So it technically still is around.
So it's still a show.
It was a show in the 90s. Remember in the 90s, you had the Michael
Eisner.
Eisner. I always confuse him with the guy after him, Bob Iger.
Yes.
Michael Eisner, I remember him like introducing Encino Man.
Me too.
That was a big one.
Yes, I remember because they were talking about the concept of where they got the story from because they found, not Disney, but archaeologists found the Iceman.
Wow.
And then I remember, wow, wait a minute. Maybe there's one in my backyard.
Yeah.
So I would start to dig it up, and there was nothing in Staten Island. We had nothing from the Mesozoic era.
I found nothing of that era.
Found nothing. I can't even find, like, you know, where they disposed of the mafia bodies, apparently, in Staten Island. You don't find nothing.
I once got chased by someone who I believe was dropping off, not picking up. So, no, we were hanging out by a lake, and then a car pulled up.
Yeah, it doesn't sound suspicious at all.
We were just kids, but we were hanging out by a lake being kids. Not kids, but, like, dumb, like, teenagers drinking beers. And then a truck pulls up, you know, something that looks kind of like a carpet, comes off the back of it into the water. They see us. We get in our car. We drive away. They drive after us. We go, are they following us? We go a little faster. They go a little faster. We go, maybe we're being paranoid. We blow a red light. They blow a red light after us. And they follow us until we're in an area where there's a lot of businesses and stuff. They finally gave up.
Oh, I thought you were legitimately setting up.
This is—it's not a bit.
The punchline.
No, this happened.
Okay, I really thought you were setting up the scene in Kiss Kiss Bang Bang, where they find the girl's body in the trunk of the car.
I could see why you'd think that, but this actually happened.
This actually. Oh, so this is a thing.
This is actually okay. Happened. I was chased by some do-better.
Do better.
Yeah.
I like that.
I'm very tired. So I'm in rare form.
Did you work today?
Is it a day of the week?
Yeah, right. What time did you start?
Today I started late. I started at 10.
I was already working for 4 hours.
Good for you. Good for you. It's not a contest.
So I did a little goog while you were telling that really scary story about chases and almost dying.
Yeah.
It started as Walt Disney's Disneyland from 1954 to 1958.
Mm-hmm.
Then it went Walt Disney Presents from 58 to 61. Yeah. Then it was titled Walt Disney's Wonderful World of Color, 61 to 69. Then Disney's Wonderful World. Then it went to Walt Disney, 1981 to 83.
Mm.
Then it went to Disney Sunday Movie, 86 to 88.
Now he's dead at this point.
I think he's. Yeah, I think he was gone in what, 70?
Late 70s.
He
I
was
think.
Dead. Or the body was buried in ice underneath
not true.
The castle. This is what I hear.
I know. It's not true, though.
Are you sure?
He's buried in a normal grave.
I think you're lying.
Or a mausoleum.
I think you're lying.
People always used to say that he froze his body or just his head.
Yeah.
Didn't happen.
I think it did. I genuinely believe that his body is powering that entire.
I bet you could Google his grave and find his epitaph.
Yeah, but that's what they want you to think.
All right, I didn't realize you were down a rabbit hole that I don't want to follow.
So then, from the magical world of Disney from 88 to 90 goes the wonderful world of Disney 69, 79, 83 to 87, and 91 to present.
Yeah, yeah,
but it doesn't air on Channel 7 no more.
This one the other day did, Little Mermaid Live, and I believe they did a Galaxy's Edge special earlier this year that was like Inside Galaxy's Edge or whatever the fuck.
Are you going but there?
Would you – you fucking bet I'm going there. Would you watch any of that content? Would you like to see Walt talking about things?
Yeah, I would. I would. Just because I don't – it's a world that I do not know.
The show that I'm most excited, that I'm probably going to watch first, even before the Star Wars show, is they've got a documentary series called The Story of Imagineering, which is like how the rides are made and shit.
Sounds very you.
It seems very exciting.
I think it is.
And it's directed by the granddaughter of the guy who co-created Mickey Mouse, Ub Iwerks. His name was Ub. Ub.
So how come it ain't Walt and Ub Disney World?
I know. This guy is the co-creator.
Does he get a piece of the action?
I don't know. Probably not. You know, Walt wasn't even an artist. Like, he didn't draw Mickey.
See, they would want you to believe that he
did. Yeah, because
I thought he did. I thought he was an animator.
Well, there's a lot of publicity photos of him, like, in front of a drawing board with Mickey on it, but...
That would be me.
He was more of a producer.
That would be me. I would Walt Disney the game.
Is that right?
Yeah. If you, like, let's say you created something like that, mm-hmm. I'd just be like, all right, great. He's in the bathroom right now. Snap a flick with me holding the pencil at the drawing easel.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's how it works.
And then since I'm bankrolling this thing, let me put my name all over it. Put my stink.
My stink all over this.
You know what it
back then there was no internet.
No, there wasn't.
So you could just a photo said a thousand words.
That's it.
There's the man. Next to him is a picture of the mouse. What more do I need, Your Honor?
Next thing you know, Steamboat Willie.
Yeah.
There's no copyrights back then. Copyrighted didn't start until like the 30s.
Not actually, but sure.
Yeah. Whatever. Wasn't the Copyright Act of 1928 a thing?
I think it's 1907 was the first American Copyright Act. The first copyright law ever was like 90 years earlier in England, called the Statute of Anne. But
Anne probably got ripped off too.
But Disney, we could say that the Disney company is the company most responsible for
plagiarizing, systematically and ripping off everybody,
and systematically weakening copyright, changing copyright law to be more of corporate interest, and really flushing out and suffocating the public domain.
Well, it amazes me that the intellectual property or the trademark for Mickey Mouse was about to expire. Could you imagine, let's say, Warner Brothers or, I don't know, Access TV with Mark Cuban would buy Disney, would buy the mouse?
I can't even imagine a world where they would let that happen.
I know, but could you imagine that they just goofed? They didn't think about it. Like, Felix the Cat is now up for public domain.
It would be interesting.
Like, I want to know.
In the 80s, I think recently something happened where some of the early cartoons, like the films themselves, are in the public domain, but not Mickey as a character. But Mickey as a character was almost up for public domain in the 80s, and they just used a lot of money to lobby Congress pass a bill that would extend copyright.
The House of Mouse.
And they called it the Mickey Mouse Protection Act. That's what people called it derisively. It was called like the, you know, everything evil has a nice name. It was called like the Copyright Extension Act or whatever.
Oh, don't you want to protect the mouse? I mean, you give so much money to the mouse.
It's, you know,
if I was to figure out how much money I give to the mouse, and I don't even worship the mouse.
You bring up a great point, and I'm glad you do, because this is something I'd love to talk about on the podcast, which is, some people have asked me, how do you simultaneously collect toys and can't wait to go to Disney and love Disney,
but hate capitalism,
but also Marxist pinko, you think Disney's an evil corporation that uses sweatshop labor, and the people that work in Disneyland live in their fucking cars, and it's a goddamn sin? Well, I think it's because
I'm a hypocrite.
No, I think it's because, I don't think it's an artist thing too, by the way, but it's not like I could separate the art from the artist. I think it's more deep than that. I think it's like there are the evil overlords who have the money, and then within that there are the creatives that get to do things. So, yeah, like,
yeah, but their ideas are plundered and used, and then just,
but there's great creativity out there.
There is.
You know, I'm a believer, and we're going to get into this in the next episode that you and I are going to do next week. I'm going to get into this deeper.
Okay.
But I'm a big believer in the sort of traditional concept of the auteur theory, which is not full authorship, you get to do whatever you want, but is, in fact, great creativity comes from constraint. And, you know, the original idea of the auteur theory was someone like Hitchcock, he couldn't do everything he wanted. He couldn't put the sex on the screen or the violence on the screen. He had the Hollywood system, so he had to sneak it in.
I do believe that.
So I think you see great stuff in, you know, like even Star Wars. It's this giant toy factory, yet when you look at it, it is a huge thing that's pretty obviously anti-fascist, and it's that, and that's cool. I think, I don't know.
No, I think that is cool, but it's also a story under the umbrella of a major corporation that doesn't really allow for the narrative to go as far as it could be, because it's still housed under the mouse, which has strict guidelines and policy.
Yeah, I would love to see all that changed. Am I going to Disney World? Yes. Am I counting the moments? Yes. Do I wish that every person that worked for Disney company was given a living raise?
Yeah.
Yes. The most successful company, the most successful media company in the history of humanity. That's what they are.
True.
Should not have anybody working for them, whether you are the CEO or someone who sells churros at Disneyland. You should not be living in your car. But that doesn't turn me into like the kind of person who's like, fuck Disney. I only watch Ingmar Bergman films.
Yeah. I feel you. You're watching Star Wars and you see it as a, you know, back-ended nod to fascism with, you know, the evil empire. But then if you talk to, let's say, you know,
George Lucas.
I made
who you look like him right now in your flannel.
I made a space western.
Yeah.
And he's not talking about fascism.
Yeah.
But you're
reading into it.
Yeah. So that's why you're bending and manipulating and changing the shape of this thing to suit your needs. That's what fans do with everything. They do that with wrestling. Yeah. They do that with fantasy football.
Yes.
They do it with comic books.
Yeah.
It's cool. That's what you're supposed to do. Yeah. And that's why the cash keeps on flowing.
But it's more than the cash. I think that's how a culture builds.
Yes. But to answer your original question,
yeah,
I am not buying the Disney Plus. I will hound you until I get that login.
Fantastic. All right. So moving on to the second news story. You can tell when Emilio hasn't been behind a mic in a while. He's chewing up the scenery like he's like... So one of the Halloween, this grinds my gears. One of the Halloween specials this year, me and my brother Anthony did an episode on the Scream series, and mere days after we recorded that, it comes out that there will be another Scream movie.
How does that make you feel?
It makes me feel like, because we ended that episode by going, "What do you think the future franchise is?" And
it's coming back.
It's coming back. Now, I don't. This
is it a reboot or is it a continuation?
Here's the thing.
From Cotton Weary.
I've given you all the news that's available.
Okay.
No one knows. I mean, Wes Craven's dead, but no one knows who's
But why even bring that back though?
Spyglass Media Group.
I don't even know what that is.
They're a media company. They bought the rights.
Okay.
From it was originally owned by Miramax, so I don't know I don't know what goes on with all that shit now. But that's what we know, is they bought it and they're going to make a new one. We don't know if it's a part 5. We don't know if it's a reboot. We don't know if it's going to be a new version of part 2 and don't count 2, 3, and 4, like one of those bullshit things. We have no idea, but it's happening. And hey, I'm for it.
I hope David Arquette has a role as a Dewey.
I hope so too.
I think that should be the one constant. Not Nev Campbell.
Mm-hmm.
Dewey.
I agree. He's the Rosencrantz.
You need him.
I can't finish. I can't finish the reference. Rosencrantz and Guildenstern. Is that right? Whatever. Whatever. You get it. You get it at home.
Do they?
Yeah.
Because I don't get it.
I smell my coffee burning, by the way.
Would you like me to get a cup?
Please.
Okay.
I'll vamp while you're...
Oh, okay.
So Emilio, I asked Emilio to make me a cup of coffee. One day, we've got to do just a mini episode on coffee and our history with it, our love of it, how we like to take it, how that has changed over the years, what it does for us, what it makes us feel like in our bodies. The other day at work, by just some weird coincidence of happenstance, I couldn't get coffee. And
it's still brewing.
Oh, son of a...
It's one of those old brews that my mother has, like the old Italian percolator.
The silver thing? Okay. All right. Well, so what else is going on? Let's see.
Well, you were telling a story I wanted to hear.
Oh, by coffee? Oh, I couldn't get coffee. I didn't. I was like, you know what? Let me just get to work. I woke up early. I was like, let me get to work early. I won't drink coffee at home. I get to work, and there's usually coffee at work, but through some shenanigans, coffee doesn't happen. And I've got to run out of the office to go do something that someone else should have fucking done. Okay? There, I've got no fucking coffee. It's almost noon now, and I haven't had coffee. And I'm sitting there, my legs shaking like I'm a goddamn crackhead.
You're addicted.
Yeah. I was like, can somebody turn down that noise? There's no noise. It was just,
why is it cold in here?
I'm hot. I'm cold. I'm upset. I got angry at Erica. Do you know Erica? Do you use Bank of America?
No.
Bank of America has their own Siri named Erica, and she helps you when you've got banking issues. And I saw some $12 charge on my card that I don't remember fucking making. So I'm like, Erica, I'm texting her. Erica, what's this bullshit? And Erica's like giving me options. And I'm like, I want to talk to a person, Erica. I want to text with a person. And then Erica gives me a phone number. I'm like, I can't talk right now on the phone, Erica. I need to text with somebody.
I'm detoxing from that sweet, sweet bean.
And then Erica's like, I don't know what you mean. And I'm like,
it's,
you know,
like
what?
A real relationship.
And then I'm like, you know what, Erica? You fucking suck. I hate you. This is such a horrible system. Why do I pay for this? And it's just like, I don't understand.
It's like a real relationship.
So that's so I ended up what did I end up doing? Like a sad pauper. I ended up finding a pot of moldy it's been out for 2 hours coffee that I just poured down my sad face.
Oh, I thought you were gonna tell me you snorted the grinds.
I was so close. Oh, Jesus. So that's my story. And what else is with this fucking farce that is the news today? Oh, Happy Meal toys. They're doing I think 40th anniversary of the Happy Meal, and they've got this thing going on where they've brought back classic Happy Meal toys, but they're blind bags. So you go, you get the Happy Meal, and you get this little like white bag that says like 40th anniversary, and you don't know what the hell is going to be in there.
How many have you bought?
I have bought none. Am I going Sunday to buy a bunch? Yeah.
This is the same guy that just said he wants to start saving more money.
That's why I don't have any. I'm going to buy one.
Bullshit.
I'm just going to get one.
You buy more than one.
I haven't even been buying coffee. I drink coffee at work now.
Is it good coffee at work?
No. That should show you my dedication to my frugality.
Yes.
Fuck. What, Oh, wait. I have.
Well, do you know, I have the list. I found the list.
Oh, you got it. That's what I was looking for.
This is what producers do.
Go off that list. Give us that list. Now, I know you probably as a kid only ate like kale burgers or whatever, but us normal people, we were eating McDonald's.
Yeah,
in the
80s, I don't remember none of these toys. So, Cowboy McNugget from 1988.
That was a Halloween McNugget. They were McNuggets dressed like things.
Fireman McNugget?
Yep, same idea.
Mail Carrier
McNugget?
That's the
one I want, by the way.
Which one? The Fireman McNugget?
Any of the McNuggets.
So, do you think you're going to get the McNugget?
Probably not. That's how blind bags work.
Hamburger Changeable? What's that?
Great question. This is a classic. It belongs on this list. It was the time of Transformers. Remember in the 80s when everything transformed? You had Transformers and Voltron and GoBots.
Yeah.
And all that. Everything. So McDonald's got in on the act and made their own stuff. And it's basically, it would be like a Big Mac that turns into a guy, or like a McDonald's fries that turns into a robot. So that's. But it wasn't tied into any show. It was McDonald's own thing.
Yeah.
Classic. So I would love that too.
So it was a hamburger that changed into a robot.
Yes, yes.
Okay.
I would love that.
So it was bullshit in disguise.
Yeah.
Okay, great. The Grimace.
I never had that. That might be a very old one, but I would accept a Grimace.
It's from 1990.
Really?
Yeah.
It's not what I'm looking for, but I guess I wouldn't be sad to have it.
Dino Happy Meal Changeable.
That I don't remember. That might be a tie-in to the Flintstones movie. Not looking forward. That's not what I want.
Okay. McDonald's Hot Wheel Thunderbird.
No. Whenever McDonald's was didn't have any good IP, they would do this weird, very gendered bullshit where they would have random Hot Wheels for boys and random fake Barbies, not real Barbies, but like 3-inch Barbies for girls. And
like a Polly Pocket.
Yeah, basically. And I never liked Hot Wheels. Did you like Hot Wheels as a kid? I was never into that.
I was not a toy guy like that, like a toy car guy.
No, yeah.
I thought they were just a waste.
Yeah, I was like, give me a Skeletor figure.
That's what I'm saying. Hamburglar.
I'd like that. That's a classic.
That's from 95.
Classic.
Space Jam Bugs Bunny.
I had these. I had all of these. But I got to tell you, I'm not a Space Jam stan like a lot of these people out here, like a lot of these millennials. I remember even seeing it as a kid thinking, this is subpar. I was like, why is Bill Murray involved in this?
Patty the Platypus. It's a Beanie Baby.
Oh, I never had that.
So out of all the Beanie Babies, Patty was the most beloved in the Happy Meal box?
I guess.
I've never heard of that before. 101 Dalmatians, a U.S. exclusive.
Not interested. Not interested in that.
What about a Tamagotchi?
Now, I remember that, but I don't remember if they were actually Tamagotchis or if they were just inspired by the Tamagotchi craze.
No, I think you're getting a Tamagotchi because...
Well, I would love that.
Because I know Bandai made those.
I would love a Tamagotchi.
Did you ever have one when you were younger?
Yes, of course I had a Tamagotchi.
Did you feed it?
Yeah, of course I did. I was great with it.
It didn't die on you?
At some point, they all died because at some point you stop playing with it.
Yeah, it's true.
Yeah.
It's true.
We were all deadbeat Tamagotchi dads.
Yeah. We probably still are.
If we turned on the Tamagotchi now,
it would be wanting child support and say, you abandoned me 18 years ago.
It'd be like, oh, look who shows back up.
Well, all of a sudden now you want to be my friend, huh? I needed a father. I didn't need a friend.
And then we just throw it out.
Throw it back. Wait, you're abandoning me again.
Oh, God, such aggression from this digital toy.
My Little Pony.
I don't know what generation of My Little Pony that is.
It's from 98. It ain't from when it was popping in the 80s.
And it ain't from when it was popping again in the 2000s.
Yeah, no. It's from like 98 when it was just sad.
That's the shitty gen.
Yeah.
Shitty generation. Yeah. No thank you, sir.
No. Then there was a Furby.
Yeah, I'd love that. I think I had one of those. Not a real Furby, but the McDonald's Furby.
Okay. What about the Sorcerer's Apprentice Mickey?
Of course.
It's classic.
I know. You look at me like,
come on. It's a classic Mickey. Come on.
Come on.
What year was that, though?
2002.
That must have been for Fantasia 2000?
Yeah.
A sequel we all wanted.
I've never seen the first one. Hello Kitty.
Nah, I'm not a Hello Kitty collector. Thank God.
Pretty much where it ends.
No, isn't there a Power Ranger on there? I thought there was a Power Ranger from
the
movies.
Oh, yeah, there is a Power Rangers 1995.
Yeah, that's from the movie. Yeah. I want that. I had those. Okay. Those are big.
All right.
Now, the one that I really wish was on there that isn't is the Muppet Babies from the 80s.
Christmas. I have those still somewhere. When we start to bring down the Bacchanalia, I'm going to look upstairs and see if I can find them and we can talk about them.
Oh, my God. I can restore them.
With what?
I know how to restore toys.
Oh, yeah? This is a new thing.
No, it's not. I restored all of my older brother's Return of the Jedi figures.
Did you paint them?
No. I don't believe in repainting, but I believe in basically the oil in the plastic will sap out.
So you put it back
over
in?
Over years. Yeah, you replace it.
How?
You have to buy the stuff that what it's built for is to for the interior of leather cars.
Yeah.
Not leather cars, but like fake.
Yeah. Turtle wax.
Yeah. You first wash with soap and water the figure, but it's like tacky. And then you spray it with this stuff and that will put the oil back into it and then let that dry for a day, then shine it up and it'll be just like it was. And then you got another 15, 20 years out of it.
Wow. There's a whole science behind
it. I could do that with the Muppet Babies.
Well, let me find them. Let me see where they are.
Speaking of Muppet Babies, did you see there's a new commercial? I forget what they're selling, but it's Fozzie is like Skyping with his mom. And then at the end of the commercial, though, you see like Fozzie's mom's, like, I don't know, like her dresser, and there's like pictures and stuff, and one of the pictures is Fozzie, but he's dressed like Muppet Baby Fozzie, and I was like, what a great little Easter egg for
it,
me.
It is. It's
for
adorable. Me alone. It's adorable.
Yeah.
They were like, so when they were sitting in that marketing meeting, they were like, how can we get Mike Bongiorno to go, aw?
Yeah. Well, you know who owns Muppets?
Disney?
Yeah, of course
they do.
Of course they do. Don't be stupid.
I'm shocked Disney doesn't own wrestling yet.
Well, yeah, because that's a monopoly.
That's owned by itself.
Yeah, no one's
one man
go.
Owns wrestling.
Yeah, exactly. Let's go to Trailer Corner.
You want a mosey?
Yeah.
All right.
Happy trails to you.
Is that public domain?
That probably is. I don't want to be sued. What if Disney owned that?
That fit, probably.
We watched three trailers. Bombshell.
Yes.
Invisible Man.
Yes.
And Soul.
Yes.
Where would you like to start? Player's choice.
Let's do Invisible Man first.
Invisible Man is...
about the Invisible Man.
Yeah, I believe it is not remake, but it is inspired by the universe. It's made by Universal, the new one. But I like the idea of it. It's very cool. It's very like...
It's very now.
Yeah, yeah. It's very feminist. And it's also like, is it in her mind or not? Basically, it's Elizabeth Moss from
Handmaid's Tale.
Yeah. She's always suffering, whether it's Handmaid's Tale or Us. She has this very controlling, crazy boyfriend, and she runs away from him. That's how she gets away from him. And then to spite her, he kills himself.
Allegedly.
Allegedly. But she says he turned himself invisible. And we see, like, him touching stuff or whatever, but everyone in her life is like, you're breaking down, you're going crazy. And I don't know how far the movie's going to go with this, but I hope what the movie does is what the trailer does, which is kind of like, I'd love them to leave it open. I would love them to not definitively say whether he is an invisible man or it's in her head. That would be a cool way to do it. I have a feeling that it'll start that way, and then in the third act, he'll be like smoking cigarettes, and you'll see like a cigarette floating in the air.
Of course, because you already saw the phone in one of the cuts of the trailer.
Right.
It's taking pictures of her while she sleeps.
Right. But if we have scenes like that where only she's present, we can still be like it's in her head.
Yeah.
And it looks good, though.
Oh, so it won't be like the original Invisible Man?
No, no. I've never seen the original with Claude Rains.
I like it. I've watched it. In fact, I like all those old Universal
Me too.
Monster movies. And the only one that they aired this Halloween was The Bride of Frankenstein.
That's a great one, though.
It is a good one.
I really love probably the Wolfman.
It's probably the best in that whole...
Yeah, it's the best made.
Yeah.
It's probably one of the best sequels ever, too.
Yes, without a shadow of a doubt.
It's far better than the first one.
But Karloff did not like the fact that they started to humanize Frankenstein's monster.
Yeah, but I love he speaks very little in that, but I think it's
you go, we stay,
we belong
dead.
God, that's such a good movie. Well, you brought up the Dark Universe.
Oh, in a text message when we were prepping for the show. What a failed concept that probably could have been really good.
Now, do you think this is them actually trying that again?
No, I think that they probably.
Because they tried twice.
Yeah, I think that they filmed this movie with the intention when it first came out.
Yeah.
When that Dark Universe was first released.
Well, Universal did the Marvel thing before Marvel. They were the first. They really had their cinematic universe with Dracula and Wolfman and Frankenstein and Invisible Man and the Creature from Black Lagoon. And then they had, Abbott and Costello running around with them. They were the first ones to do it. So
yeah, and they did it well back in like the 1920s.
And now they want to do it again.
And you can't create that again.
Right.
There was something special about that.
First they tried with Dracula Untold, which was like a Dracula movie where he was the hero.
Yeah.
And then that failed.
That doesn't work.
And they were like, no, that wasn't real. That was...
Yeah.
Do over. And then they were like, no, this is the real first one. And there was The Mummy with fucking Tom Cruise. And then that failed.
Well, that was a flop.
Yeah.
Then they were supposed to do the Jekyll and Hyde spinoff starring Russell Crowe.
Right, because he's in.
Yes.
So now we just have a weird mummy movie that has Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde in it for no reason.
Aren't they going to make the Jekyll and Hyde movie but not connect it now?
They're going to pull an Aquaman?
Yeah, I just think that's what they're going to do.
I don't know. Well, this doesn't... this looks like it's its own thing.
Yeah.
Hopefully.
Yeah.
But, you know, did you ever see... oh, fuck. What's the 90s one? There's basically a remake of it in the 90s. Oh, with
Brendan Fraser.
No. Well, there's the weird remake by name, The Invisible Man with Chevy Chase.
Yes. And then there was also The League of Extraordinary Gentlemen, who also had The Invisible Man in it.
But then there's that Kevin Bacon
movie. Yeah, that was. I think that was called Hollow Man.
Hollow Man, thank you. I wanted to say Glimmer Man.
No, that was a movie, though.
Who was Glimmer Man?
Oh, and the Glimmer Man? I think it was Steven Seagal was the Glimmer Man.
Okay. Remember Hollow Man?
Yeah.
Basically, it's always the plot is always a normal scientist's. You know, it's the Faustian thing. They want they ask for more than they should have. You know, the knowledge is what drives them mad, and they go so crazy because they are invisible now. They can do whatever they want, I guess. And I like that this new one looks like it's from a different point of view. It looks well made as well.
Yeah, it is. It is. But it's different. It's more thriller than horror, which I think is cool.
Yeah.
So we'll see what happens.
I'm a fan of it.
Yeah, we'll see.
So the trailer that I'm most indifferent to.
Bombshells?
No. Is Soul, which is a Pixar movie.
Yeah. They're really touching upon, like, the afterlife, aren't they? Well, that's like, that's the where thing. They're starting to, like, cash in on?
That's the thing. It's like they are and they aren't, because basically it seems to be a movie about a musician who dies, and then we see his soul, but his soul kind of just looks like a sort of iridescent, glowing version of him. But it seems like they are going out of their way to not have their afterlife look anything like any known religion.
Yes, which is the safe play.
Right. But it also seems like they're trying also to make it kind of like Inside Out was.
Well, yeah, see, like, that's the thing, because they look like characters from Inside Out.
Right, and that was a clever movie. But
you don't think this is going to be clever? But it's also like, what are you doing for your life? Are you optimizing your life at the best possible you? Are you trying to be the best possible you? Are you just sitting around wasting time?
Yeah.
That's what I thought Soul was about.
Right. The trailer begins very
misleading.
Yeah. When I saw it, I thought, oh my God, is this the first Pixar movie that's just a drama? That's just no gimmick, no cartooniness. It's just we're using Pixar to make a narrative.
And then the lead character falls down a sewer.
And then it becomes a shiny ghost thing.
Yeah. A beacon of hope.
Pixar had a run. They had a run that was unprecedented. And then, you know, I think there's been a lot of messed up. Some people love all of it. I like some of it. Some of it I feel is really overrated.
Like what?
Toy Story 3. Actually, any Toy Story after 1. I think 1 is great. 2, 3, 4, meh. I mean, they're good, but they're not great. So I think Wall-E is really, really good, but people tend to hate Wall-E. I think Up, people love it because the first 10 minutes is really strong, but then the rest of the movie is just sort of weird, and there's a bird.
I've never seen it, so I can't really comment.
Yeah, then there's all the weird Cars movies, which is just like
I'm not into stupid. Those. I did like Coco, though, but that's not Pixar, is it? Oh. Or is it Disney Pixar?
You know,
is this even a Disney movie?
The difference between them, I don't know anymore, to be really honest with you.
Right? They all have the same aesthetic.
Yeah. Will I see it?
Probably
not in the theater.
Really?
No.
Well, you'll see it on the Disney Plus.
Yeah. It didn't grab me. It really didn't. I mean, it was a teaser, but...
Well, I also like jazz, so I thought the music was great.
Yeah. That's another interesting thing about it, is before the character dies, it seems like this is a Pixar movie with a predominantly African-American cast. So it's like, you know, it seemed to me like there were more interesting things happening before the character died and becomes a ghost.
Yeah.
I was like, what is this about? Jazz? A musician? Is this like, what's happening here? And then...
glowing orb of just thing.
Yeah.
All right.
Bombshell, I'm excited for.
Yeah, I want to see that.
That's the movie that is about basically the Fox News scandal where Gretchen Carlson... came out and said that Roger Ailes harassed her. And then other people came out. And you've got Nicole Kidman as Gretchen Carlson looking just like her. You've got Charlize Theron as Megyn Kelly looking creepily like her.
Yeah,
it's amazing. And then you've got Margot Robbie as a fictional character that is an amalgam of a bunch of other characters. She's sort of our protagonist who is like, she's new at Fox News. Like, in the beginning, you see Kate McKinnon as a producer there, and she's taking her through, and she's like, okay, so when you're thinking of a story, think about what would scare your grandma but make your grandpa angry. That's a Fox News story. So it looks like it's got some humor in it. It's directed by Jay Roach, who did the Austin Powers movies, but he also did some other political movies like Game Change and stuff. So, and I think one of the writers wrote or worked on Vice, which was that movie about Dick Cheney, which a lot of people hated, but I really liked. So it looks fun. It looks like it's not – it's. I mean, obviously it's going after Fox News, but it doesn't
– Got to tread lightly with that.
But it doesn't look like it's – I don't know. It doesn't have that weird earnestness like it would have had – like that sort of – how do I put it? Like that Bush era Michael Moore earnestness. It doesn't have that. It seems more satirical.
Well, it fits with the current landscape of one.
Just we live in a hellscape, so let's
at it. I was going to go into this whole diatribe about like the current political climate and how that's a fucking three-ring circus, but we'll just leave it there.
What do you think of John Lithgow as Roger Ailes in like a fat suit?
I was going to ask you, is that Lithgow?
Yeah. And he's sexually harassing people right there in the trailer.
Imagine he gets the Academy Award for this.
Oh, my God. Now, as a fat person, can I complain about fat representation? Because couldn't I say there are fat actors out there that deserve that role? Yes. Why give it to a thin actor?
Absolutely.
It looks good. I like that at least I read the title as having two meanings. Because, like, a bombshell is a piece of information that is incendiary, yeah. But also a bombshell could be used to describe a woman, yes. And it's about three very attractive blonde women. I don't know. I'm down with it. Looks good.
There's the woman from the Five throwing Team Roger T-shirts.
Oh, that, yeah. See, that looked funny. I was like, all right,
I want to see this. There was a time where I would just sit and watch Fox News for hours, trying to figure out the appeal.
I think the appeal is like fear. And anger. Like they say in the trailer. I think you watch it like, oh my God, what's happening now? And so if you're not buying into that, you're kind of just like laughing at it. But since we live in Staten Island, which is a very conservative place, like every gym I've ever gone to, Fox News is always on. Yeah. It's like I've watched so much Fox News just from like going to the gym.
Yeah. No, not in my gym. They don't do that in my gym.
Really?
Yeah, they don't have a TV in my gym.
All right. Amelia works out in a fucking gulag.
Google that one, guys.
All right, let's take a break. Let's take a break and we'll come back with the chill sesh. Pop Culture Man and Children is a podcast about fandom and popular culture. You could find it anywhere podcasts are available. Even some places I don't even understand. I go through the server that I use for PCMC. They're always adding new distribution channels. And yeah. Some of these things I've never even heard of. But I'm like, yeah, put me on there. Put me everywhere. Where have you been?
I've been to Toronto, Odessa, Kansas City, New Orleans.
Wow.
Chicago.
Wow.
Philadelphia. And I am going to where else? I mean, it's on my
that's fantastic.
Yeah, it's on my calendar.
A lot of people don't get to enjoy that kind of thing.
Well, you really can't there's no real like enjoying of it because you're only there in like spurts. Mm-hmm. I was in New Orleans for less than 36 hours.
So did you have a
beignet?
Yes.
No, I didn't have a beignet. But what I did do and what I did enjoy was I Googled, thanks to masstimes.org.
Uh-huh.
I found the cool mass that I went to in New Orleans. So I went to go to mass in New Orleans.
I feel like New Orleans is a town for sinning.
Yeah.
And you didn't do that.
No, I didn't want to sin. I went to have I had a vegan lunch, and then I went to the 4 o'clock mass that ended at like 6.
Do you find mass interesting?
Yes, I do. Yeah. Not even from, and I don't know, man, signs are all over the place. I do believe that, but you have to just sit there and listen to these stories. It's literally something out of a comic book.
See,
they're interesting.
I've gone to a bunch of different churches. I always found it dull. And having nothing to do with belief and religion or God, just in terms of a service, as a show, as a story, I always was like, I don't know. It never did much for me. The music isn't that good.
There are certain Bible stories that are pretty good.
Yeah, maybe I never caught a good episode.
You should listen to the, what's the app?
Are there mass podcasts?
Yes, there's actually a podcast that I listen to that I like a lot, actually.
Yeah?
Yeah, it's called Catholic Stuff. Oh, let me see. Hold on. I'll look it up on my phone. Hold on. It's these four cool, priests. Man.
That's interesting.
And Catholic Stuff You Should Know.
Interesting.
Yeah. Catholic Stuff You Should Know.
And that's a podcast?
Yeah. It's actually really popular.
That's cool.
Yeah.
There's some priest that does pop culture videos on YouTube that I watch sometimes. He just did a reaction to the new Star Wars trailer. Seems like a cool dude.
I mean, priests are people, bro.
Mm-hmm.
They just pray.
They just pray.
But yeah, no. So I went there and I had some vegan food and I don't know, man. I it's what I was doing across the country. Like, you know, if I was there in a state that I had a couple of hours to kill, I'd hit a mass and try to hit some vegan food. Except for in Odessa, Texas. There's nothing in Odessa, Texas.
Really?
There's nothing. There was nothing.
Well, in all of your travels, did you fit in any time to consume anything? Did you read anything or watch anything, listen to anything?
Okay, well, it's funny that you say that because I've been watching since, you know, in between flights and when they're delayed and whatever. On Hulu, I've been watching The Odd Couple.
Okay.
Yeah. Jack Klugman and Tony Randall.
I, being that it was just Halloween, I watched Hocus Pocus, of course.
Of course. Was Jack Klugman in that?
No, but Gary Marshall and Penny Marshall are in that. And they play husband and wife, and it still baffles me as to why that happened. It's such a weird...
It's acting.
Yeah, but why cast famous siblings to play a married couple? It's odd. It's still odd. But they're in that, right? Penny Marshall plays Oscar's secretary, right?
Yeah, Myrna.
Yeah.
Yeah, but later, like the second or third season. Because the first season is in my favorite apartment that I like. Because they did a scene change.
Yeah, didn't it go from single camera to sitcom multicam?
And I think that's where the heart of the show gets lost.
You like the beginning better?
I like the first two seasons.
Did you see any of the most recent one that was on for like two or three seasons?
Oh, with Matthew Perry? Yeah. No, I didn't see that.
I watched the pilot. Just because I had to try it. I actually watched like three or four episodes. I did not find it very funny, but I could see why
the original
sitcoms would like it.
The original's really good.
I watched the pilot because I wanted to see how much of the DNA of the Neil Simon play would make it into the pilot. And some of it was. There were some scenes from the play in the pilot. But one thing that I found interesting, and I don't know if this is progressive or regressive. Actually, I remember thinking, oh, that's kind of cool that they just said it. There's a scene very early on in the pilot where one of Oscar's friends says, hey, is Felix gay? And he's like, no, he's not. And that's kind of it. But it's interesting that it's just thrown out there. And I remember thinking, yeah, okay. It didn't offend me. I mean, I'm not homosexual, so maybe it would offend a homosexual. But something rang true to me. It felt like, wow, that's very 21st century that... Because they didn't mock him for it, but somebody asks him, they ask, is he?
Yeah.
And that was Thomas Lennon who played Felix in that. Yeah.
See, well, I think...
But that had like three seasons.
See, but I think what's different... And nobody knew.
I mean, it was on CBS. So it's like somebody's watching that shit.
We can get fucking three seasons in CBS.
Well, now that Big Bang's out of the picture.
Oh, they need us.
They need us.
We can have a really good show.
We're both neurotic.
Yeah.
I'm a little bit of both, though, I think.
Well, I'm a nerd, so I could fill in that that gap.
I'm a little bit of Oscar and Felix.
I think you're
more Felix than Oscar.
I think you've become more Felix.
I have.
You were definitely more Oscar before.
Yes, my tics got really bad.
And you've just you know, when you were a DJ and you'd hang out and
I was swarthy.
Loud places. Yeah. Yeah, you were more like an Oscar Madison. Now you're very much like, oh, I went to New Orleans and I had some vegan food and went to church.
Yeah. Normally I'm in bed by now. Like, had we not recorded right now, I'd be sleeping.
And it's only 4 p.m.
Yeah. I'd be up for 6:30 in the morning yoga.
You do yoga every day?
Oh, yeah. I got a yoga body, Pop.
What does that mean?
That means I'm long and lean, Daddy. Long and lean.
You like that?
Yeah, I love it. I love it.
Because you used to be sort of
big and bulky.
Muscular.
I was very much. Yeah, but I'll flex for you right now. My biceps are still big, Daddy. I'll feel that.
You're looking a little thin.
Yeah, but feel that, though. Solid as a rock.
Yeah, but it's all about how it looks.
I know. But long and lean, Daddy. Mm-hmm. Long and lean. But yeah, no, I like The Odd Couple, man. And I like the writing. It's very indicative of the late 60s, early 70s. It's a time capsule for New York City that we'll never see again. That's the type of Manhattan you will never see.
Mm.
It was very plain. Like, even in shots when they were in Times Square, it wasn't so grandiose.
Yeah.
This is when, like, you know, phone booths were still a thing and people would go outside and do stuff. You know, the cops were different. The cars were different. Like, New York had a different feel to it. It was a little bit more grimy. Now it's not so much.
That is, the show is...
It's about two guys, two divorced men.
It's not New York in the 70s. It's a representation of New York in the 70s. I mean, the same time that The Odd Couple's on TV, Taxi Driver and Mean Streets is in the movie theaters. You know what I mean? And that's a very different version of New York.
But it's still the same version of New York, though.
I mean, if they're filming it out on the street, it is. Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. If you look at when they would do like the intro scenes where they're walking the streets of Manhattan... It's very different than what it looks like now.
Mm.
And I think maybe we lost some of the charm that was New York City.
I mean, but it used to be very, very grimy and dirty and dangerous.
Absolutely. But some also it had its own look, though.
I do. I never experienced it as an adult because I was a kid. But I do. Part of me thinks it would be cool to be on like a train that was completely like... graffitied out.
Yeah, same.
Like, I like that look.
Yeah, me too.
Because guess what? The trains are gross as it is. Like,
yes, they are.
For a city that's known for its subway, our subways are disgusting.
Filthy.
So at least they had some art to them.
I can't tell you how elated I am that I never have to ride a subway.
I used to ride the subway to my old job, and I kind of miss it. I kind of miss the subway.
I don't. Even when I was...
I read a lot of good books on the subway.
Even when I was consulting before I was doing what I'm doing, I was like, I'm not.
You never liked the subway?
No, and I was always on the subway.
I mean, there were
even
times
when I was going to Sirius, I never liked the subway. And I did the subway for 8 years.
I mean, there were times I didn't like it. When it was too hot, I didn't like it. When it was too cold, I didn't like it. When it was raining, and you get that weird, like, subway steam.
And that smell, and you don't know why your mouth tastes weird, because you feel like you walked into something.
But sometimes someone would have a cute dog, or it would be a lovely day. I remember a couple years ago, I was having a bad day, and I was waiting for the train down by... I guess it was the Upper East Side. I was trying to go downtown so then I could take the bus home to Staten Island. And there was a guy singing in the subway, which some of them are good, some of them aren't. Sometimes you ignore them, whatever. But this guy was amazing, and he was singing Leonard Cohen's Hallelujah.
Oh, wow.
And, like, it was a New York moment. Like,
oh, of course.
Everyone there... like stopped and listened and gave him a lot of money, and he just like he tapped into what we were all feeling that day in that train station. Like I really remember feeling like moved by it. Was like, You know that meme where it's like, I don't know who needs to hear this right now, but drink water, whatever the fuck. Like, I needed to hear that at that moment.
You know, it's funny that you say that because you
and I'm just, not getting out of my car. Yeah, you know?
You could just tell, especially New York City summers, when the heat just beats you, and you could just see everybody's disheveled and disgusted, and you know, they're just drained, and and you're just like, whatever's gonna happen is gonna happen. Like, you know, like everybody's just frazzled, like their faces are just done.
Yeah,
and to me, that is that New York moment.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then when you hear Hallelujah by a street performer,
and
it just perks your spirits,
and that's such a great song, and he's belting it out.
Yeah, but see, that's what I'm reminded of when I watch those old episodes of The Odd Couple, and I see that, you know? Yeah. Obviously, like, let's take away the sitcom aspect of it. It was still two guys recently divorced, navigating and changing from a trauma and a pain.
That was when divorce was, like, a big old deal.
Yeah.
Right?
And especially, like, two guys being divorced and seeing how it affects them.
Yeah.
Because, you know, that was never really
talked
about.
Oscar seemed to love it.
Oscar seemed to love it. Felix did not.
No, Felix did not love it.
No. So you're seeing two different worlds.
Yeah.
And how they coexist with that.
I watched the show, but I was much more a fan of the movie. I really loved the movie. I think that the first act of the movie, the whole poker game.
Oh, it's perfect.
It's just perfect. Everything's right. I love when Oscar picks up the phone and he's like, how are you? What are you wearing? Anyway, Mary, it's your wife.
But I like... If we're going to compare Mathile to Klugman, I like Klugman better than Mathile.
Really?
Yeah.
I love Mathile. I love him in Dennis the Menace as Mr. Wilson.
Oh, he's great in everything.
I love him in the Bad News Bears, drinking and driving with kids in the car.
But how can you not love Jack Klugman's portrayal of Oscar Madison? Klugman's a good actor, period.
Yeah, no, he is. And I think Tony Randall's a good actor, too.
Randall was in one of my favorite movies.
Pillow Talk?
Yeah, how'd you know?
It's the only
Pillow Talk.
It's one of the only Tony Randall movies I could even just think of. But he's great in that.
Oh, he's fantastic.
That's a weird movie because it features Rock Hudson pretending to be gay, but he really was gay. So he's a gay guy pretending to be straight, pretending to be gay.
Be gay, yeah. And Doris Day.
Doris Day, so cute in that. That is a good movie. That's like that kind of like genre of like fun sex comedy, like, but there's no sex involved.
No,
but
it's like, it was so tongue in cheek.
Yeah, but it's like fun. Yeah, it was. Yeah, that was a great movie.
Pillow Talk. Wow, I don't
Pillow
think
Pillow Talk.
I like Pillow Talk. It is a good movie.
What year is that?
Pillow Talk.
Yeah.
59.
Fuck. Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. 59. Tony Randall.
Who directed that? Is that, wait, let me guess. Is it Vincent Minnelli?
No.
Fuck.
Michael Gordon.
I was way off. My second guess was going to be Douglas Sirk, which is also wrong.
Very wrong. Very, very wrong.
Pillow Talk, yeah.
Yeah, Pillow Talk was good, but I like Tony Randall, though, so.
Yeah, I like Tony Randall. He's good. But I got to tell you, I like Jack Lemmon more.
Really?
I love Jack Lemmon.
See, I thought Randall played a better neurotic.
What about Glengarry and Glenn Ross?
All right, listen. We're talking about
he's like the character, biggest sad sap of all time.
Yeah, but we're talking about the character of Felix Unger. We're not talking about, you know, who had a better...
Put down that coffee. You don't get the coffee. Coffee's for closers. The leads were bad.
That's great.
Did you like Grumpy Old Men? I loved both of them.
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
The first one's very sharp, and the second one's ridiculous, but it's got Sophia Loren in it. Those are good movies. And you got what's his name in that, too? From Rocky.
Burt Young?
No, playing Jack Lemmon's father.
Burgess Meredith.
Yeah. Yeah, those are good movies.
Yes, they were. Yes, they
grumpy
were.
Grumpy old men and grumpier old men.
They should have did grumpiest old men. And all you do is you just watch them shit in a diaper.
They didn't do that, but they did two other movies at that time. They did Boat Trip, which was them on a boat. And then they did The Odd Couple 2, which is an unfortunate sequel because it's written by Neil Simon, but it's just not very good.
Yeah.
No matter how you cut it, it's not very good.
You know what Tony Randall movie I want you to watch?
What?
Who Spoiled Rock Hunter?
Who Spoiled Rock Hunter? I've never seen it.
No, I'm sorry. Will Success Spoil Rock Hunter?
Will Success Spoil Rock Hunter?
Yeah.
What year is that?
That is 1957, starring Jane Mansfield.
All right.
Yeah.
Jane Mansfield. With head.
With head. This is what not is,
what is this? You've seen this? What is this about?
Yeah, it's how can I give this real quick?
Give me the IMDb summary.
Who Spoiled Rock Hunter? Will Success Spoil Rock Hunter?
Who Framed Roger Rabbit?
Who Framed Roger Rabbit? Let's see. What is the IMDb?
That Rock Hudson was a handsome man.
To save his career, a writer for television advertising wants a famous actress to endorse a lipstick. In return, he has to pretend to be her new lover.
See, that's always what these movies are, that type of genre.
I mean, that's what it was back then.
Well, it was a particular kind of like romantic comedy. There's a lot of like...
But that propelled Tony Randall to be a star.
Yeah. Tony Randall was great. He was also a great talk show guest, Tony Randall. He was always good on like Letterman and things like that.
But those old actors, man, they got chops, bro.
Mm-hmm. He had like a kid when he was like 70.
Yes, he did.
Something crazy like that.
That means there's still hope for us, pal.
Right.
What about you? What are you watching?
I saw Last Christmas, which is that new movie with Emilia Clarke, and it's directed by Paul Feig. It has the music of George Michael in it, but it's a romantic comedy. It's about this woman who works in like a Christmas store, and she dresses like an elf. Anyway, I saw it because I thought it was going to be cute, but I ended up really liking it. I liked it more than I thought I was going to. I thought it was pretty funny, and it made me remember that I think Paul Feig is really good. Bridesmaids is good. I think his best movie is The Heat. That's a great movie. Spy is a good movie. The only movie of his that I think doesn't really work is Ghostbusters, and I don't blame him for that.
No.
It's definitely producers and Sony being very worried about the franchise.
Absolutely. I think they micromanaged.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But I really enjoyed it. What have I been watching? Did you see the Halloween episode of the Goldbergs?
No. I'm going to catch up on the Goldbergs tonight. I have a little time.
The Goldbergs is, it's weird because it's like I still enjoy it, but it's getting long in the tooth. You know what I mean? It's been on a while now.
Have they jumped the shark yet?
Well, you've got both of the older siblings in college sharing a dorm room.
How is that possible?
Sitcom magic? Contrivance, yeah. So you cut back and forth between a Barry Erica story,
yeah.
And then an Adam story, and I mean, I still like it though.
Okay,
but there was originally a Halloween episode.
Okay,
what else have I been chilling with? I feel like I saw something else recently, but I can't remember what the. Oh, I saw Young Frankenstein here in Staten Island. The St. George Theater played the Sunday after Halloween. They played on the big screen Young Frankenstein by Mel Brooks, and boy, is that a fucking movie.
Oh, it's great.
Wow. You know,
I wish the St. George Theater would do that more often.
You know what? They're not good at publicizing it, but like there's stuff there. I also saw the Judy Garland Star Is Born there.
Mm.
With James Mason. and all through the movie, I kept going, "Tell me something, girl."
Cuz he said like, that he was the original
like,
singer.
Shh, stop, you're ruining it. Fuck, Young Frankenstein's good, man. Yeah. It's so dirty, though. I forgot how dirty it is.
Oh, it's filthy.
And there's, like, a lot of rape humor. I mean, one of the bits is the monster rapes Madeline Kahn, and she likes it. I mean, that nowadays you would not.
Would never fly.
But that Mel, it's just, God, when I was watching it, Gene Wilder is so good. Because he has the ability to be huge, huge, screaming, but also be like super, super, super subtle. Like
he has great range.
I was dying when, remember in the beginning, he's teaching the class and some kid keeps antagonizing him?
Yeah.
And he's got like the scalpel and he just, he like hits his leg and he realizes he stabbed himself, and then he just like, he opens his hand and he sees that the scalpel's is still sticking out of his hand, and then he just grabs. It's just so funny.
Yeah, he was one of those actors that can do it all.
He wrote that movie too.
He could be serious.
Yeah.
He could do comedy.
Yeah.
And his range to go back and forth into both. I think he's criminally slept on when you talk about like one of the great actors from like 20th century.
Yeah, I think
because he retired.
And yes, he was out of the after his wife died, he after Gil Rana died, he didn't do much. And I think you've got a whole generation that only thinks of him as Willy Wonka.
Yeah.
And doesn't realize like
there's so much more than Willy Wonka.
How good he is in so many other things. Yeah. That movie's so good because Young Frankenstein, it has ridiculous jokes, yet they're not constantly winking at you. Like it's ridiculous, yet at the same time it's taking serious how fucking ridiculous it is. And also it's not a joke factory. Like, it lets jokes breathe. Like, there'll be a good, strong bit, right? Like, to me, I think the most clever bit in it is when he's like, and it's that long setup, too. He's like, listen, I'm going to go into the room with the monster. No matter what you hear, do not let me out. Okay, and it's just this long setup, and then he goes in, and the monster growls, and he's like, "Get me out of here! Let me the fuck out of here! I'll break your fucking heads in!" And it's so, and it's funny seeing it with that crowd. Everyone's seen it, so people started laughing even before the bit because you know you're like, "Oh, it's this bit! It's this bit!" It was really such a great experience, and people always say, comedy movies should never look too good because if it's so sharp looking with its cinematography, it can undercut the tone.
Yeah,
but that movie looks great.
Of course.
And he and Mel Brooks actually like got the old lenses, got the old cameras. Some of the things in the lab are actually from the original Frankenstein. Like, he went out, they wanted to make the studio wanted to make the movie for so much money, and he had a lot of clout at that point, and apparently like he took less money to do it in black and white. Because they were like, or no, he was at a meeting and like they were like, they did a handshake deal. And like, as he's out the door, he's like, oh, by the way, it's in black and white. I'll see you later. And they were like, wait, what? But it couldn't not be in black and white.
No, it wouldn't work if it was in color.
It's so good. Gene Wilder.
And Peter Boyle is just forever old, when he was young in that film.
When they do Putting on the Ritz, that's such a brilliant bit.
It is.
And again, the series, like the Gene Wilder is taking it so seriously, and then the monsters, it's so funny. Oh God, it's so good. And then when the monster fucks up, he's like, "You're ruining me. You're gonna ruin me." Oh, so good. That was a good experience. That was a good way to end the Halloween season. You want to take a break? Come back and do obsessions.
You want a little more coffee?
Do me something, girl.
Are you searching for a...
No, are you happy in this modern world?
Are you happy in this modern world?
Do you need more? Is there something on your side?
Let's do it together. Ready? 1, 2, 3. I forgive.
No, I that's not words. It. That's what's not the words. Words? It's words? I don't know. I fuck lost okay. It. I literally just know.
Tell me something, girl.
It's a reaction I have.
I watched the Kris Kristofferson Barbara Streisand version of A Star Is Born.
Now that's the one that most people say is the worst.
It's really good.
You really liked it?
Yeah, the music.
I bet I'd like it too.
Is so good in that. Barbara Streisand's fantastic.
As much as I like Judy Garland.
Nobody's
and I saw that movie, by the way, the Judy movie with Renee Zellweger. That was fucking good. Check that one out. It was one of those movies that was like, it was such a long melodrama, and like, I'm just like, all right, kill yourself already. Yeah, like,
drink yourself to death.
And he's not a musician in that, they're movie stars, so it's like a whole different situation. So this is Pop Culture Mantra on PCMC. I'm Mike Buongiorno. You're Amelia Sparks. This is Obsessions. This is where we talk about what we're currently obsessed with. Amelia, what are you currently obsessed with?
Okay, well, there's two things, but one I think is just a little weird.
Sure.
Essential oils in my diffuser.
Tell me more.
I don't know. I just get very stressed out.
What's a diffuser?
It just creates a mist.
Uh huh.
Would you like me to put it on for you right now? Would you like to see?
Yeah, I'll
show you the box of.
I'll enjoy that.
Earls. Where is my box of Earls?
Is it Snake Earls?
It's they're Young Living oils, and they're just like these really cool oils.
Is it under the underwear over here?
No, I'm sorry, I didn't tidy up the place before you came over. Oh, there they are. But I got home from work late. I did a 15-hour shift.
This place is a pigsty.
So basically, essential I want to just oils. Yeah, Young and Living is a really good like company.
Young and Living
that makes amazing essential oils, all like natural.
Now, what makes it an oil essential? What does that mean exactly?
So basically, what they do is like seed to seal. So like they'll extract either like from a press or they'll boil, and they'll give you and they'll create the oils.
Mm-hmm.
And what they do is they just. Supposedly, they're supposed to have like holistic, like properties.
Can I ask you a question?
Yeah.
Like, what's next? Like, so I'm wondering.
Dude, let me tell you something. When you start making money, you get weird shit.
But I'm wondering how far you're gonna go
with what?
With all of this? Like, at what point am I gonna be in here and there's gonna be like. Like a salt rock.
I want one so bad. Like I love Thieves Spray, which is like a like a holistic
May
version of Lysol. Well, yeah. Hold on. I don't want you to use this, but I'll make you smell this Thieves because it's all the same.
Okay.
But
Thieves Spray.
Here's my charcoal soap.
Of course, yeah.
I'm gonna use that on my face. Smells delicious. Smell that. That's Thieves.
Thieves. Ooh, it's got a nice like Christmassy.
Yeah, but what Thieves is it's it kills germs.
Sure. Sure it does.
So when I'm on the
So
when I'm on the road,
yeah.
Thieves comes with me.
Are you in that place of like Sting yet where you don't use soap anymore? You just like go to a brook and you just use water?
I'm almost there.
You're almost there, right?
I'm almost there. But yeah. Let me tell you something, man. Like,
yeah.
Peace and calming.
Yeah.
They just have these things, dude. I haven't tried this yet. I want to try one of these, but.
You're kind of like a less annoying Russell Brand.
Yeah. Oh, that's my that's my spirit guide, to be honest with you.
That was a cheap shot. I actually like him.
So I read
his autobiography, and I enjoyed it.
Which one? The Bookie Wookie?
Bookie Wookie. Yeah, Bookie Wookie 1, not Bookie Wookie 2.
Yeah, Bookie Wookie 2 is eh. But, I don't know, man. I want a Himalayan salt rock next.
Yeah.
If I stay at home or move out, I'm undecided.
Can I decide for you?
Sure.
I think you should move out.
Yeah, well. Maybe. But I was going to do like a whole like sage thing.
Sure.
Yeah.
Get the bad spirits out.
Yeah, but I was also going to have the Himalayan salt, you know, lamp and... Like the music melody bowl.
Sure. Oh, yeah. I think this place should feel like a waiting room of a massage parlor.
Yes.
It should have that vibe.
Yeah, well, that's what I want.
Yeah. Like when you walk in, you should offer people tea.
Yeah.
Would you like some tea, some slippers?
Well, actually, I don't drink tea anymore.
Oh, really? Too impure for you?
Yeah, what I've been doing is I've just been making my own ginger tea.
Sure, why not?
So what I'll do is I'll buy ginger.
Why buy tea when you can make your own?
I will cut the ginger. I will peel the ginger.
Yeah.
I will blend the ginger in my juicer with a little lemon and lime.
Yeah.
And then I just pour the hot water.
Sure.
Into the teapot.
Sure.
Yeah. And I boil it together.
Mm-hmm.
Remember when I was very Staten Island?
Sounds like you're really living life.
I know. When did I get so lame?
You're not lame. You're just...
old?
No. I don't know what you are. You're, I don't know. You've become very new agey. You're new agey.
Is that what it is?
Yeah, you're definitely new agey. I mean, there was that cult you tried to get me into.
Yeah, well, I mean, I won't, you know. You should have joined with me. I don't know why you did it. We all got free Yeezys.
Oh, God. When the rocket comes, you just got to drink the juice. And
drink the juice and you're good to go.
That's funny. What was your other thing?
Do you want me to share it after all that? Yeah. I am obsessed with Jazz 88 WBGO. It's the greatest radio station of all time.
Is that a terrestrial station?
Yes, it is.
A good old-fashioned radio station?
Yes, 88.3 FM.
Okay.
Broadcasting live from Newark, New Jersey, 24/7. It's the jazz source.
Newark, New Jersey is the jazz capital of the world,
apparently,
I think.
Apparently so. Chick Corea.
Now, when you were in New Orleans, you could have seen real jazz, couldn't you have?
I went.
Oh, okay.
I wasn't going to share that, but yeah, of course.
Okay, weird.
I saw some jazz.
So when
I wasn't going to tell you my whole New Orleans experience. I just wanted to tell you the two things.
So when did you start listening to the station?
Well, I've been listening to the station for years.
Uh-huh.
Years, but I have just atrocious commutes.
Uh-huh.
My commutes are just so arduous.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm driving to work, and it's just Jazz 88 for 2 hours. I'm driving home from work, Jazz 88 for almost 3 hours.
Okay. Well, that sounds very nice.
Yeah, and I love it. Coltrane,
mm-hmm.
Clifford Brown, Thelonious, Dizzy.
Dizzy.
Yeah, man.
I think you're on a first name basis for all of them.
Yeah. And it's funny, too. My buddy Jay Glaze and AJ Palantonio just dropped an album.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Called, I think, St. George Nights. It's a jazz album.
Sure.
Yeah. I want to go see them live.
St. George Nights.
My travel schedule right now is not.
What is St. George the saint of? Halfway houses?
Probably. What about you? What are you into?
Star Wars thing. So,
oh God.
So there's.
Do you ever not get tired of it? Like, do you ever shut it off?
Do you ever get tired of fucking essential oils?
No, I don't. And no. I'm gonna put some on you. Actually,
there's a new Star Wars game coming out called Jedi Fallen Order. It's not out yet, but in anticipation of that, I decided to replay a game I've already played. Emilio is putting oil on me. Oh, man, I can feel... Oh! He just put it right under my nose. Oh, man. The yogi bullshit you get when you walk into this house. It does smell, like, very, like, Christmassy.
Yeah.
Oh, God. What was I even saying?
Star Wars.
Jesus Christ.
But that's going to help you.
This might be the most off the rails episode we've ever done. Why is it burning? Why is it burning me? Is it supposed to burn?
Yes.
Why? Why would you pay for this? What does it do for you?
It's supposed to cleanse you.
What does cleanse mean?
Cleanse you.
Holy shit.
Well, you had sniffles. So it's supposed, it's like Vicks.
Oh, God.
Do you feel like you can breathe a little bit better?
No. Now I just feel like my face hurts. Because it's burning.
I haven't laughed this hard in fucking such a long time.
Holy Jesus.
Oh, I love it. I love the smell of this. So I put this in the diffuser and it fills the house.
Oh, God. I feel like I've got a mustache of fire on. So much pain.
All right, so Star Wars.
Holy shit.
Okay, so go ahead.
Episode 106. This is the one where we jump the shark. This is it. Couldn't even get through fucking obsessions. Barely got through the news. Oh my God, is it hurt? Is it because I'm impure? Like, does it not hurt you? Is it like holy water?
Yes, I'm immune to it now.
It doesn't do anything to you. For me, it hurts.
No.
Oh, God. My current obsession, I for the third time, I played a game that I've played before. It's called Star Wars Battlefront. It's a video game that when it came out, a lot of people shit on it because it had a lot of the weird, like, microtransaction things where...
What's microtransaction?
It's basically like a way to make little kids buy shit within a game. And there was a lot of criticism of it, so they scaled it back. But the thing I like about it is the story mode, which is I think, an interesting story. The story of Battlefront 2 is there is a sort of special ops group called Inferno Squad.
Yeah.
And they work for the Empire. And so you begin the game working for the Empire, shooting filthy rebels. And you're on the moon of Endor. And then, like, you feel like you think you're doing good. And then you look up in the sky and the fucking Death Star explodes. And you're like, no, that can't be. And then throughout the game, it takes place, the story of the game takes place in a year between the Battle of Endor, which is Return of Jedi, and the Battle of Jakku, which is the last battle of the Galactic Civil War.
Yeah.
And you go from a bad guy to a good guy.
Okay.
And it's just fun. It's a fun shooting game. I like a long range weapon, so I can just chill. I could, like, stand back and, like, just sniper people in the head.
So what made you want to revisit this?
Because
it seems like an old game.
It's from 2017.
Yeah. I mean, in terms of video games, it's
right.
Outdated.
When I like a game, I'll play it more than once.
Okay.
And I really liked it, and I'm excited for this new Star Wars game. So I was like, you know, I think of Christmas as Star Wars season.
It is.
So, you know, after Halloween ended, it was like, okay, it's Star Wars season now. Let me play a Star Wars game. Let's get back into the whole rigmarole of it. And I don't know. I was like, I want to revisit it. And I was playing it today, and I was like, yeah, this is a good fucking game.
I like this.
The new one is straight up story. It's a big story. It's got the kid from Shameless in it. He also plays the Joker on Gotham, you know, the redhead kid.
Oh, yeah. Ian.
Yeah.
I don't know his real name.
Yeah, he plays a Jedi who, like, is young, and he's hiding, he's a Jedi. It's a whole story, so, it's Star Wars season. A lot of Star Wars happening. That's my current obsession.
Your current old obsession.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, that and the burning sensation on my face.
I'm sorry, but I felt you needed it.
Did you?
Yeah, you had that sniffle, and I was like, all right, I need to do it.
Well, thank you.
I'm sorry.
Well, this has been a hell of an episode.
Hey, listen, when I'm on.
It's great to see you.
I'm on.
It's great to see you.
It's great to see you too.
Emilio, by George, I think we did it.
Another one?
We did an episode of Pop Culture Man Children.
Great.
I'm Mike Bongiorno. That's Emilio Sparks. You can find him on Twitter at Emilio Sparks.
Yeah.
Nancy listens to the show now. We should shout her out.
I want Nancy to come on the show. Yeah. We should do an episode, me, you, Nancy, and Janine.
We should.
Let's do it. We'll call it Friendsgiving.
We should do that.
Let's make it happen. There you go. Look at me producing.
We're in agreement.
All right.
All right.
Maybe I'll bring Nancy some essential oils.
Yeah. She'll be excited to hear this episode.
Nancy's amazing. You need her on. She's a Star Wars fanatic. Mm-hmm.
She used to not like me.
Well, but not, there's a lot of people who never used to like you.
Well, yeah. I mean, in the past, it makes sense. But now we seem cool.
Yeah.
She's got a nice kid. I went to a Halloween party where a kid was at.
Yeah, good boy. Yeah.
Good boy. He like, I had my proton pack, because it was just like Ghostbusters, and he kept being like, shoot me, and I would shoot him with the proton pack, and he'd act like it was fun. Yeah, we kept doing it. He was a cool kid.
Let me tell you something, Nancy and Matt are fantastic.
Yeah?
Yeah, I love them. They're like my favorite couple ever.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're good people.
When I said, I knew her from years ago, but when I said to you, I know somebody you know, you said who, this is an exact quote from you, you said who, I'm a man of the people. That's the kind of thing that this person says in sincerity. That's the kind of shit that comes out of his mouth.
Oh, it was pure. It wasn't even like a joke either. That was like,
no, you're like, I'm a man of the people.
I'm the man of the people.
Yes, who I know everyone.
I do.
All right. This has been Pop Culture Man Children, PCMC. I'm Mike Bongiorno. That's Emilio Sparks, man of the people. Go bye-bye.
Yes.